There are two men especially associated with Christmas.
Two men that completely dominate the Christmas season. And those two men, of course, are Santa and Jesus. Santa Claus and Jesus Christ. In some ways, these two men are similar. Both are portrayed with long hair and long beards. Both are fond of children. And in some ways, they're similar. And in some ways, they're very different. One is old and one is young. One is fat and one is skinny. One wears boots and one wears sandals. Two very different men, both reigning over Christmas, but in different ways. Santa gives to good people because they deserve it. Jesus gives to bad people because they need it. Santa focuses on the goodness of man. Jesus focuses on the goodness of God. Santa's Christmas is all about what we do for others. We do Christmas. Jesus' Christmas is all about what God does for us. God does Christmas. Santa's Christmas is celebrated especially by people who think they are nice, certainly not naughty, and who believe that Santa, who sees all, will respond to that with rewards. Jesus' Christmas is celebrated by people who know that they are naughty, certainly not nice, and that Jesus, who sees all, will respond to that with mercy and grace. Two different men, both reigning over the season of Christmas, but in different ways. In our text for today, the Apostle Paul weighs in on this whole topic. Our text is from Titus chapter 3, and reads as follows. When the grace and love of our Savior appeared, God saved us, not because we are nice, but because God is merciful. Okay, well, let's start with Santa, with Santa's Christmas. And there's a few things I just have to admit and get out of the way. The first one is obvious. Clearly, Santa's Christmas is far more popular. It's far more popular, it's far more celebrated than Jesus's. Certainly among the world's non-Christians. I mean, even in India, the more than 1 billion Hindus, they all love Santa. They love Christmas. Christmas is a big deal in India. But it's not only true among the world's non-Christians, it's also true among most of the world's Christians. They too. Santa is a more important figure. Or at least the more celebrated one. If you don't believe that, just tune to that radio station that plays Christmas carols all day long. Or watch the Hallmark Channel this time of year. Clearly, Santa's Christmas is the more popular of the two. I have to admit too, just for the record, that personally, I like Santa. I've been a personal fan of Santa for more than 70 years now. I think he's great. And there's something to be said for all that nice stuff. I mean, it's nice to be nice. It's good to be good. What Santa looks for is also what Jesus looks for. In fact, Jesus looks for it even more. Jesus Jesus talked about being righteous in all of our deeds, loving in all of our ways. Yeah, it's nice to be nice. It's good to be good. But here's the deal. Here's the thing. Here's the problem. We aren't good at being good. We're just not that good at it. Will Rogers once told a story about a bunch of guys who celebrated Christmas Eve in a bar. And after they had consumed a considerable number of high-octane adult beverages, they suddenly got the Christmas spirit. And they took up a collection and they gave the money to the bartender, who promised that with this he would buy some toy for a nice little boy or girl. So they all went home at 2 a.m., went home to sleep it off on Christmas Day, all thinking they had kept Christmas. We're just not that good at being good. We don't do it very well, and we can't do it for very long. And maybe that's why Santa is short-lived. We welcome him 4, 6, 7, 8 weeks tops. 8 weeks before Christmas, we let Santa do his thing. Because for 8 weeks, we can spruce up our lives and our homes, you know, at least a bit. Visiting friends, smiling at strangers, donating money to worthy charities, buying presents for people we like and even people we don't like. We can do that. Kinda. Sorta. To some degree. But we don't do it especially well, and we just can't do it for long. The day comes when we want Santa to go back to the North Pole so that we can get on with our lives. All that good stuff, we're just not that good at it. If we could truly be good, I mean really be good all the time, that would be great. But we can't. And we know it. Santa knows it. And Jesus knows it. And maybe that's why the Apostle Paul directs us to that other person so associated with Christmas, the one called Jesus. Listen to the words of our text. When the grace and love of God, our Savior, appeared, God saved us. Not because we are nice, but because God is merciful. Jesus comes for people who are not and not nice. Jesus comes for people who need him, but probably don't deserve it. This is the Christmas that is not about coal or apples in your stockings. It's about a baby lying in the earth. Jesus said, "It is not the well who need a physician, but rather it's the sick who need him." There's a story told about a family that went out to buy their Christmas tree. But they didn't go to one of those corner lots or, you know, in front of their neighborhood grocery store. No. They had this Christmas tradition. They had this Christmas event that was so important to them. They'd get in the family car and they would travel out into the countryside and they would visit one of those Christmas tree farms. You know those places where they grow Christmas trees, where they're still growing in the ground? You know, when you bring your saw and you find the tree you want, you cut it down and hopefully you secure it carefully to your car and get home with it. You know, one of those. So they were there on their Christmas pilgrimage, doing their thing in the Christmas tree barn. And they happened to see their next door neighbors. And they had no idea that their next door neighbors had this same annual tradition. Their next door neighbors also bought their Christmas tree in the same place and in the same way, but they greeted each other. And one father said to the other, "Oh yeah, we come here every year. We come looking for the perfect tree, the most beautiful Christmas tree, just the right height, not too short, not too tall, just the right fullness, not too thick, not too thin, the perfect color, beautiful in every way. And when we find one, we post a kid in front of it to reserve it, but we keep looking because you never know, you might find something better. This goes on all day. But we end up with the perfect tree." To which the other father responded, "We come looking for a tree that needs us. A tree we can make beautiful." Jesus did not make this pilgrimage to earth to look for perfect people, or even the best ones. He came looking for people who need him. People that he could make good. People on whom he could place the ornaments of his grace and mercy and forgiveness. Jesus said, "It's not the well who need a physician, but rather it's the sick." But Christmas is not just about celebrating Jesus. It's also about receiving Jesus. The Bible says, "For to us a son is born, for to us a son is given." Just believing that Jesus was born in Bethlehem long, long ago is not enough. Christmas means welcoming him, receiving him, having him in our hearts and minds. Welcoming him who comes not in the chimney, but who comes lying in me. In the words of an old English Christmas carol, "Though Christ a thousand times in Bethlehem be born, if he is not born in thee, then thy soul is forlorn." It was 1961. It happened at the Children's Hospital in Palm Springs, California. And it was none other than Frank Sinatra himself. Frank Sinatra decided that he wanted to give a Christmas present to the kids in that hospital. And he made his gift a chocolate Santa. A huge chocolate Santa. A 75-pound chocolate Santa. Because Frank Sinatra wanted to make sure that all the kids in the hospital would be able to have all the chocolate they could eat. And this wasn't ordinary chocolate. No. This was chocolate from a world-famous chocolatier in Beverly Hills. The finest chocolate in the world. It was delivered with considerable fanfare. There were dignitaries, the newspapers were all there, the local television stations were all there, speeches were given. There it was, and it was placed on this pedestal right at the entrance to the hospital, right in the lobby where everyone could see it. There it was, 75 pounds of
delicious, wonderful, marvelous chocolate. The aroma filling the hospital, the smell walking down the hallway. You can just imagine how the kids thought about that all day, dreamt about it all night. But they'd have to wait. First of all, there was all those ceremonies and speeches and photographs. And then there was some fuddy-duddy hospital administrator who decided that all that chocolate would not be good for the children and that it would not be eaten at all. So there it was. On that pedestal, all 75 pounds of chocolate, worshipped, admired, adored, but never eaten. Oh, there was this mysterious, embarrassing chunk that was missing from the side of Santa's tummy. With these small but incriminating teeth marks up her lower. No one could explain this. No one knew the answer to this. It remained a mystery until January the 9th, when 6-year-old Tommy was discharged from the hospital. Just as he was making his way out the front door with his parents, Tommy confessed up to the whole thing. He said that he woke up in the middle of the night for some reason, and he stepped into the doorway, and he could see that all the hospital staff, they were all preoccupied. They were all busy. And he saw his chance. So he stepped out. And very carefully, very deliberately, very quietly, made his way along the wall. He made his way all the way to the lobby of the hospital, and he waited until the security guard took his leave, left for some reason, and he seized the moment. And he walked over to that chocolate. And he opened his mouth wide, and he took a bite. I say, good for Tommy. Good for Tommy. But you know, the same thing can happen with Jesus, especially around this time of the year. Sometimes Jesus is hauled out and put on a pedestal in a dominant and important place. And there he is worshipped and adored and celebrated and admired. But perhaps never you see. Christmas requires that Jesus not only be born in a manger a long time ago in a place far away, that in a sense he be born anew in us. Each Christmas, every Christmas. Though Christ 1,000 times in Bethlehem be born, if he is not born in thee, then thy soul is forlorn. So Santa is great for good little boys and girls, but for the rest of us, there's Jesus. Jesus. The incarnation of love. Our Savior, our Redeemer, the gift from God to those who need it. Christmas is about receiving the Savior born in Bethlehem at first Christmas and born in us, in you. All of you, a blessed Jesus.